Good morning. Once again, I am Pastor Victor. Special welcome to our first time guest. I am thrilled that you are here. I am thrilled I'm here. I had been on a leave of absence for the month of July, and I'm back on the saddle. It is good for me to be back. I cannot wait. I could not wait until I got up here and share what God has in store for us. A quick thank you to each and every one of you who has shown an act of kindness and compassion and generosity to my family, to my wife who is recovering from a cancer surgery, and to my family with your dinners, with your cars, with your just acts of kindness. Thank you so much. We feel very indebted to you. Pastor Christopher, who is the campus pastor at this location, is giving a message. He's preaching at the River Church this morning. So he is over there. I am over here. And we are going to engage in God's Word. As we have heard, it is a Summer of Psalms series. The book of Psalms is the actual official book on prayer. So it's the best way I know how to grow in my prayer life, by praying through the book of Psalms. Because God speaks to us. This is, Victor, this is how you should pray. Because without God's help, I'm just self-focused. I want to pray what I need from my perspective. God says, son, I know all that. Do pray all that. But here's how you could deepen your prayer, by praying the book of Psalms, the prayers of Psalms, through God's perspective. Statement. Life can be described as a journey into the mountains. How would you feel about that statement? Life can be described as a journey into the mountains. Back in 2015, my wife and I and a bunch of pastors from Alberta went on a study trip to Egypt, Jordan, and Israel. Okay, here's the first picture. This is a picture of the base of Mount Sinai. Now, we don't know for sure with 100% certainty if this was the Mount Sinai, but this is the leading candidate. So if I were a betting man, which I'm not, I would bet my money on this mountain as the Mount Sinai, upon which Moses went up and down on which God sent his Ten Commandments. Okay? Now, we climbed the mountain. It took us 7 hours from the base to the top. Okay? Next slide, please. See the rocks, the rows, if there were any. Look at the terrains. This is a tough, tough road. The journey to the mountains can be treacherous. The sun over here, okay? Thank you. Catherine, you rock. Thank you so much. Did you notice, by the way, the songs that we're singing, the slides in the backdrop, have you noticed? I hope you did, because I did. Pictures, images of mountains, because that's the theme today. Thank you so much. So the sun, this is in Egypt, right next door to Israel. Sun is not your friend. In Alberta, we go, oh, we wish it were sunny. There, people wish, bring more clouds, overcast. On this day, when I took this photo, the temperature was 45 Celsius. And it was so hot. I would not have lasted more than 5 minutes in the sun. Sun is your number one enemy. I was melting in this weather. Next photo, please. Okay. So we climbed this. That's my beautiful wife. Okay, and behind her, this is at the top of Mount Sinai. Okay, it takes a tremendous effort for us to journey up to the mountaintop. How long did it take? 7 hours. The destination was to the top, and we began from the base. We actually had to go on camel rides to a certain distance because it was so, so hard. And from there, we walked on foot for the next 6 hours. And it was dangerous, literally, physically dangerous. We were walking on this tiny, narrow trail, and to my left is a dead drop cliff. And one of us on the team actually slipped, and she fell, and we had to grab her and save her life. Okay? Now, but we got there because we believe that the destination of getting to the top of the mountain was better than not going at all. Next slide, please. Okay? So we got there. What was the temperature during the day? 45 Celsius. We tented and slept under the sky. Well, there was no tent, just a sleeping bag. You know how cold it was? 7 Celsius. So talk about the disparity between 45 to 7. Heat, cold, from the low level to high elevation. So it was really, really cold. And last slide, okay? That's actually a picture that I took with my iPhone. And to far left, I think that's my wife standing on the edge of the picture, not of the cliff, okay? So it was really cold, and when the Bible says the sun, God will protect you from the sun, and God will protect you from the moon, we actually felt it. Focus on me. So therefore, I say life can be described as a journey into the mountains. You want to get to the destination, which is the top, but there are challenges. There are obstacles. It is treacherous. And yet you want to go there because going there is a better place. This is where you want your needs to be met. This is where you want to have that sense of peace and power. You want to experience the satisfaction in your life. And yet there are challenges which can be insurmountable, which can be hard, and danger is everywhere. The elements, the sun, the cold. In those days, in the days of Jesus, the bandits, thieves, robbers were hiding in the mountains to take your possessions. So, question. If life can be described as a journey into the mountains, are you on a journey today? Do you find yourself climbing to this particular mountain today? And if so, how are you feeling? How are you doing? You doing all right? Or are you feeling beat up and discouraged and downhearted? What is your journey? What's keeping you awake at night? You know, worry can be described as something that keeps your mind clings to, okay? So here's how you know what worry is. Your mind clings to the worst case scenarios. Whatever you're facing, your mind clings, holds onto the worst case scenarios. And that's when you worry. Are you on a journey? What's your journey about? Is it employment or is it lack thereof? Is it broken relationships or is it wanting relationships? Is it sickness, chronic pains? Is it loneliness, lack of clarity in your life, looking for purpose and meaning? You ask yourselves, what is life all about? You're looking for a place of belonging, identity. What is your journey like today? Well, friends, listen to me. You know you are on a journey if you're able to answer my questions. If you say, I don't have any worries, Hakuna Matata, don't worry, stick around, worry will find you. Life will come knocking on your door, and you're going to feel, oh my goodness, oh my word, I need a word of strength. Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, here's what I believe he wants you to do. He wants you to listen in, close in, listen in, come closer, so that not only will you receive strength and courage and be edified by his message today, but he wants you to share this with your family and friends. So here is my text. Before we get to the text, the theme and the goal, if there's one thing I want you to remember in all my babbling, is this. On your journey to the mountains, God watches over your steps. As you walk today to the destination, to the top, and it is hard, it is challenging, it is dangerous, it is filled with obstacles and uncertainties, on your journey to the mountains, God watches over your steps. Let's read that together, shall we? On your journey to the mountains, God watches over your steps. Turn to your neighbor and say, yo, bro, hey, sis, On your journey to the mountains, God watches over his steps. Let's say that together. Come on. Okay, I got this from Psalm 121. Okay, so God's word this morning is this. Psalm 121. Hear the word of the Lord. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. The Lord will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Some of the Bible translations, if you open up Psalm 121, right below the title, you will see this subheading, a song of ascents, song of climbing. Literally, in the Hebrew word, it means a song of steps or stairs. Commentaries, most of them believe that this psalm was read, prayed, and recited at least two occasions, okay? One was during their pilgrimage, Israelites would each year would travel pilgrim to Jerusalem, to the temple court, to offer God sacrifices, to worship him. So this was a very, very big deal. Everyone would travel on foot and go to Jerusalem. And as they walked, they would recite this prayer together. Okay? Second occasion was, once they got to the temple court, there are many steps. And as they climb the steps, as if song of response, as if called to worship, as if liturgical reading, they would offer and say this prayer together. And this is very important because it begins with this statement, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Okay? Now, if you were alive 2,000 years ago, on the days of Jesus, we would have walked up to Jerusalem. And in fact, if you know your Bible, it always says, go up to Jerusalem. It never says go down. You know why? Because Jerusalem was the highest elevation. So everyone who went to the temple court, they would go up to Jerusalem. And therefore, they would always lift up their eyes to the mountain as they journeyed together. Jerusalem is 3,800 feet high above the sea level. So let's suppose Jesus was traveling 2,000 years ago from the Sea of Galilee to Jerusalem on this pilgrimage three times a year. And he would always walk up, go up to Jerusalem, and he would always look up to the mountains as he journeyed together. And it is a 200-kilometer journey on foot. So if you walked really fast, it would take you and me about 4 to 5 days. Okay? Can you imagine walking under the sun, walking during the night, and saying this prayer with Jesus? I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Now, again, the phrase, I lift up my eyes, it is a biblical language. It's a biblical literary tool for us to realize, hey, it's more than just looking up. Yes, it is about looking up, opening your eyes, lifting your eyes. It is that, but it is more than that. It brings us memories of who God is and what our experiences are like today. Let me give two examples of where the phrase lift up our eyes occurs. In Genesis chapter 24, Isaac was a bachelor looking for a woman to marry. Rebecca was a bachelorette looking for a guy to marry. Long story short, you can read Genesis 24 on your own. what happens was God used a servant of Abraham. This is the father of Isaac. And he matched the two together, Jacob and Rebekah. So the servant of Abraham went to a distant place and was bringing Rebekah back home on a donkey. Okay? And as they near the home of Isaac, and the Bible says, Rebekah looked up. Rebekah lifted her eyes. And whom did she see? This handsome, good-looking guy. In the next verse, same thing happens. Isaac lifted his eyes. He looked up and he saw this wonderful, fantastic, amazing woman. Meaning, the phrase lift up your eyes refers to you are in need of something. We're looking for God's guidance. And who comes through? God comes through. As we lift up our eyes, God comes through. So, friends, if you're looking for a guy to marry, if you're looking for a girl to marry, guess what? Lift up your eyes and see what happens. Second place, Genesis chapter 30, 33. Jacob meets his brother Esau. I don't have the time to tell you the whole story, but Jacob was a scoundrel, a conniving liar, a cheater, and he cheated his older brother Esau. Years pass. Esau is coming to kill Jacob with his fighting men, hundreds in strong. Okay? And the Bible says, Jacob looked up, he lifted his eyes, and he saw the danger coming. But who comes through? God comes through. He should have been executed by his old brother, but somehow God intervenes and shows mercy to Jacob, this conniving liar and a cheater. And somehow Esau is moved, and he does not kill him. What's my point? The phrase, lift up your eyes, refers to the times in which you find you need help, and you lift up your eyes, and God comes through. So friends, on your journey to the mountains, God watches over your steps, and we begin with lifting up our eyes, right? There are three steps in which God watches over you, okay? Here's step number one. God watches over you because he is your, what? Creator. Why do we need God? And you go, what kind of dumb, stupid question is that? Well, it may be elementary, but it is a profound question, friends. Why do you need God? Why do I need God? It's because God is our helper in the form of, and because of, by the fact, the truth, that he is your creator. Friends, when we worry, what happens? We think about, we imagine the worst case scenarios, but at the same time, we worry because we assume control of our lives. We want to be in charge. So if God is our creator, and because he's our creator, he watches over our steps, then we want to surrender our control. Hard to do. But we want to say, God, you are my creator, you are responsible for me, and therefore I relinquish my responsibility of worrying. You do that for me. We need God because we are created. We want to be independent. We want to be in control. I think one of the best descriptions of what a human being is, I read a book by Anthony Hukma, and he writes this. He said, we are persons who are created in the image of God. And he breaks down in this way. You are a person, therefore, you want to be independent, autonomous. You are a person of being of identity. You make things happen. You work with your hands. You have the capacity to think and to decide. You have independence. You have freedom. You have respect. Because you are a person, right? Okay. We all want that, and it's all true. At the same time, he writes, and yet we are created persons. While we have all this freedom and independence, at the same time, we are created by God. Therefore, we depend on God 100%. It is both and, neither or. We need both and, not either or. We therefore need God desperately while maintaining our freedom and power. We look to God for help desperately because He is our Creator while making things happen with our own hands. So God watches over you because He is our Creator. And those of you, you know, friends, one of the things that I thank God the most about Mosaic House Church is this, the fact that Mosaic Housers pray and they show care and they invite their friends and family to places like this or to their house churches. Okay? Some of you are saying, hey, hang on, okay? I'm not convinced that there is God. Or you say, you know, I may believe in a deity, but that He actually cares about us and that He is our help, that He watches over us, far-fetched. Okay? Now, listen. There are two options, right? Either we believe that God is our creator, therefore we depend on Him and He is our help and He watches over us. Or, number two, there is no God, or there is God, but He doesn't care, and therefore it's up to you to make things happen. You have no one else to turn to for divine help. You are independent. You are a man, a woman of your own destiny. Therefore, you got to do it on your own. Question. How is that going for you? Seriously, let's be honest. How is your life working out without God in it or without God watching over you? You make things on your own. You are in control. You dictate your destiny by yourself. How is that going for you? Here's a humble opinion. I've been there myself, okay? I became a Christian back in, you know, while I was in the mid-20s. So I know what it was like to be in control, to do life without God, okay? I've been doing life with Jesus now for the, you know, since age 25. It's good. It's wonderful. And it's not always easy. Honest confession from a pastor. It's good. It's more than I imagined. But it's not so easy, is it? Because you always have to say, Lord Jesus, You are in control. You are the creator. And You assume responsibility and take this control away from me. So I have to surrender, surrender, and surrender. That's hard. Okay? But I tell you this. Doing life with Jesus, though it is not easy, it is exponentially 1,000 times more fulfilling and satisfying than doing life without Jesus. So friends, I'm not going to try to convince you at the moment. All I'm saying is be reasonable, be logical, think it through, and give it a shot. All right? So on your journey to the mountains, God watches over you. And what's the first step? God watches over you because He is your... Step number two, God watches over you as your shepherd, as your shepherd. You know that phrase, watches over you, okay? The Hebrew word watch occurs 5 times in this very short psalm. Verse 2, He who watches over you will not slumber. Verse 4, He who watches over Israel. Verse 5, the Lord watches over you. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. And verse 8, the Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right? So friends, here's a little tool. When you read the Bible and come across a repetition, pay attention. In this short prayer, the word watches occurs 5 times. So this is a key word now. This watching thing is a shepherding image. God is watching over you as a shepherd. Remember in the book of Luke, when around the Christmas time, right before Jesus was born, there were shepherds at night watching over the flock, right? Okay? So it's the imagery of shepherding. So Jesus Christ watches over your steps as your shepherd. He is not far. He's not watching over you from a galaxy afar. He's not watching over you from saying, huh, watch out. There's a rock in front of you. That's not the idea. The idea is Jesus is a shepherd who walks with you. And that's how he watches over your steps. He is walking in front of you. He's walking right beside you. And he's walking right behind you. God becomes near in the person of Christ. But God becomes experiential in the person of Jesus. God becomes right next to you in the person of Jesus. He is the abiding presence. You know what that's like? You know, my wife was diagnosed with cancer back in January, and my mom, she would phone all the way from Korea, okay? And she always says the right thing. She would quote the Bible. She would say a prayer over the phone. And then she would say, son, don't worry, don't worry. She always said the right thing. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. My father, on the other hand, you know, he and I don't always talk all that well. It's a father-son thing. We are a lot better now, okay? I love him, he loves me. But talking on the phone with my dad, you know, it's you get the point, okay? My father didn't say much over the phone. But one day, he called. He said, son. And then he began weeping. Not a word of comfort, not a quoting of the scripture, not even a prayer. All he did was, he just wept over the phone. I'm not slamming my mom at all, no, but I'm telling you, when someone walks with you as your shepherd, that abiding presence, that's what you experience. See? And that's the person of Jesus. He is watching over your steps as your shepherd. He is not far removed from your pains. He is not far removed from your sufferings. He is experiencing what you are experiencing today. He went to a funeral one day, and guess what the Bible says? What does God do at funerals? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? God weeps. How do you know that? Because the Bible says Jesus wept at the death of Lazarus, his friend. So friends, on your journey to the mountains, God watches over steps as your abiding shepherd. Let me read you a poem. It's called Footprints in the Sand. I've read this before, but it's worth reading again. And the author writes, one night I dreamt a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky, flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and the one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footsteps in the sand. I noticed that at many times along my path of life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, journey to the mountains, then there was only one set of footprints. This reality troubled me. So I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, journey to the mountains, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. Whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never ever. During your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Jesus is watching over your steps as your shepherd. Step 3, last one. God watches over your step till the end. Verse 7 and 8, this is a tough one. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. That's God's promise. Take it to the bank. God says so in his book. He is faithful and he is trustworthy. He promised, I will never leave you. I will keep you from all harm. I will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Question, everyone. Then why the hell do bad things happen to us? Why do we suffer still? Why do we experience harm? Why do we feel like God is not watching over us today? Maybe he will tomorrow, but today, where is God's promise? Have you ever wondered about that? In your brokenness, in your infertility, in your lowest time of your life? What happened to your promise? I give two answers. There's more, but just focus on two. We are broken beings living in a broken world. Much of the suffering and the harm that you experience is either caused by you or by your loved ones. So we live in a broken world, and we are broken beings. However, there are things that are beyond anyone's wrongdoings. You know what I'm saying? Like being born with a disease, or being diagnosed with cancer, or chronic pain, or this unending depression. Okay? Where's God's promise? Another response is this, what I call theology of already and not yet. So friends, it's like this, okay? God's promises are good and true in the person of Christ today already. Already, his promises are good already and still not yet fulfilled. Not completely. It is yes, and we wait. Case in point, am I a sinner or am I a saint? Don't answer that out loud. You know, I'll answer it for you. I'm a sinner. Ask my wife, ask my children. I'm a sinner. At the same time, I'm a saint. Sanctified, forgiven, redeemed. I'm both and. I'm already a saint and not yet fully fulfilled. You get what I'm saying? Okay? So here, let me give you a better understanding. As you wait for God to come to your aid, he watches over you as your creator, as your shepherd, but he watches over you till the end. This is the theology of till the end. How many of you watched FIFA this summer? FIFA fans. None of you. Shame on you. You guys stink. I watched FIFA, okay? Guess what my favorite team was? For whom was I cheering? Oh, Croatia. The Cinderella story. The underdog, okay? In the finals, it was Croatia versus France, okay? Now, if you were a fan of soccer, this was a really, really good year for FIFA, okay? Now, Croatia, one of the finalists, almost all their wins came really, really close. It's like for all the games, they were down at the half. But somehow, they came back in the second half, or somehow, they tied at the second half, and at the end, there was a shootout, right? So they barely won. Okay? The theology of till the end is like this. All you Croatian fans, your team's down. They're not playing well. I mean, the game against England, they were just totally got their butts kicked all the first half. What's the score? 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, but it's the first half. Wait till the end of the game. You're feeling like the end of the first half. And God is saying, wait till the end of the second half. This is the theology of till the end. You feel, where is your promise, O God? And God says to you, child, be patient. It's only the first half. Wait till the second half. Wait till the end of time. God says that to me today. God says that to you. It is biblically sound. It is rationally solid, but it's not existentially satisfying. You know what I'm saying? It's true. I can hold on to that. But today, it's not satisfying. You're still lonely. You're still single. You're still unemployed. You're still ugly. We could change that. Okay? Cancer is still in your body. So while this is theologically, biblically sound, and rationally, logically solid, but existentially just not satisfying. How do I comfort you with that? Let me tell you a story of one man who journeyed to the mountain. His name is Abram, who became Abraham. God promised him a son at the age of 75. He had to wait 25 years to receive this child. And get this, once God has given him this child, God says to him, you know, the son of yours whom you treasure the most, I want you to take him to the region of Moriah and go to the mountain I will show you, and there on that mountain, offer him up as a sacrifice. Talk about journey into the mountains. Huh? Abraham takes his son, and he walks 3 days. And what do you suppose he was thinking every step of the way to the mountains? How am I going to do this? The boy would think he's about age 13. He says, Papa, we're going to go offer up a sacrifice to the Lord on the mountain. Yes, son. Okay. I see the wood that we're carrying. I see the fire we're carrying for the sacrifice. But where's the lamb? What are we going to sacrifice? Can you imagine what must have gone through Abram's mind? He responds, son, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. They get to the mountain. The journey is complete. He is at the top of the mountain, the destination. And he has bound up his son. And he set the wood. He had the fire ready. And his hand went up with the dagger. And as his hand was coming down to sacrifice his own and one and only son, God calls him out, Abram, Abram, don't do it. Now I know you truly love me more than all the rest. Here's a lamb for you. There's a lamb. And therefore, Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. Fast forward. The region of Moriah, you know where that is today? It's the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. The mountain that Abraham went with his Isaac to offer up sacrifice, that mountain is Jerusalem. Jesus Christ, he journeyed into the mountains, didn't he? He walked from Galilee to Jerusalem at least 3 times a year. But the last one he went, or close to it, and each time he would read this prayer, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will watch over you. The sun will not harm you by day. The promise of their prayer, Psalm 121, did not come to pass for Jesus. Did he? Did they? All the friends left, all the family left, and all by himself, he stood there, died on the cross. He suffered. He was abandoned so that God may enfold you. The reason God loves you and accepts you and gives you his freedom today is Jesus suffered. The promise of Psalm 121 did not come to pass for him, so that it may come to pass for you and me. Let me end with this. When was Psalm 121 recited as people journey together? Okay, so we're going to do that together. Garrett, come on up, please. Garrett and I live in the Sea of Galilee. And as required, we're going to journey together to the mountains, to Jerusalem. And the way we did it then, the way we do it today, is by this. Did you notice there's a change in pronouns, personal pronouns in the psalm? Okay? It begins like, it's about I making general statements, and all of a sudden I turn to someone else, in this case Gary, and says, the Lord watches over you. This was to be prayed and read and recited and received in a community. So journey with us, okay? Hey, bro, time to go.
Let's do it.
Go where? To the mountains. Use the microphone so they can hear you. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber.
Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
Garrett, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life.
The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Amen. Thank you so much. So, friends, on the note, God's presence, his shepherding over you, comes to you primarily through the community. We receive the community as a family. You should receive that community as a person. So find someone here, belong in our church, but you need this community. So may the Lord watch over your steps on your journey to the mountains. Pray with me. Risen Christ, we come to you. We come to you in humility, also in a place where we feel strengthened, edified, and even inspired. Lord Jesus, help us to walk with you. Help us to see you watching over us every step of the way so that we may journey to the mountains successfully. And we want to do this not only for ourselves, but for the friends and families that you want us to reach. We pray all this in the name of Christ. And God's people said, amen.